Welcome to our programming, Falling Into Place, with hosts Jan Markell and Michelle Bachman, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. In a fast-moving world driven by news cycle anxiety, Jan and Michelle examine breaking global headlines, cultural shifts, and geopolitics through the lens of Scripture, concluding that, as the Bible predicted, all things are falling into place. Here is today's programming.
We are now living in the time of the return of the gods. The demons are back. I would like to submit to you guys that some of the things that we're seeing in the world around us right now is none other than the cloaked manifestation of demonic activity rising. The gods have returned. And to deny the existence of the demonic world is to deny the words of Jesus Christ himself. He died on the cross to destroy the works of Satan. And he rose again from the dead to provide for us eternal life so that Satan would not win, because he has come to rob and to kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life and that more abundantly. This is a wake-up call. You are going to start seeing more and more manifestations of demonic activity in what, watch out, in what might look to be the natural realm, on the street, in the media, a neighbor next door, out and about, people acting unusually bizarre, violent, strange, unexplainable.
Thank you, Pastor Jack Gibbs, for that succinct statement on our times, that to some is unexplainable, and yet if we understand that we are in the last of the last days, and according to 2 Timothy 3, evil is to wax worse and worse, things will make a whole lot more sense. Also in that passage, there's a reference to people who will be without natural affection. Matthew 24, we see that love will grow cold. And while some say that is in the tribulation from which the church is absent, we see a run-up to that as the church age winds down here. I want to talk about several stories in this segment of our programming that will suggest things are falling into place, but I must open with the circus that played out for weeks in Massachusetts and that ended late last week. There we watched end-time behavior at its worst. Dan Cohen, a journalist with Jack Gibbs Real Life Network, by the way, we air on that network, says, quote, videos across social media are showing women holding plastic baby dolls, making light of casually harming their own children, moms tossing their fake babies over banisters, and worse that I'm not even going to talk about, copycats to the killer who got away with it, Lindsay Clancy. Not only that, Clancy sympathizers demonstrated daily around the world in defense of this brutal woman who casually strangled three small children. Watch this here.
An astounding show of support today for Lindsay Clancy. Hundreds of women, all dressed in pink, cheered the accused mom as she arrived in a police caravan for her murder trial. Supporters ran across the field to greet Lindsay. Some came with their babies. They held up heart hands during a silent rally for the mom who strangled her three young children, then jumped from the second floor window, leaving her paralyzed for life.
It's a buzz around here, guys.
Fox News legal analyst Chanley Painter, a former prosecutor, actually wore pink in her live report as she spoke to Lindsay's defense attorney, who was greeted with cheers.
Hey, guys, what do you think of the support for Lindsay Clancy out here?
I have no words.
No words?
It's amazing.
It echoes last year's Free Karen Reed campaign. Those supporters also wore pink. She was acquitted of murdering her cop boyfriend. The rally for Lindsey Clancy is not just in Plymouth, Massachusetts, where the trial is being held. There are gatherings across the USA today, including here in New York in Union Square. Actress Alyssa Milano today is joining the chorus of Lindsey Clancy's sympathizers. She revealed, "I stayed in a public psychiatric ward for 3 days after the birth of her son." But others are taking to social media to express shock over the display of support for 36-year-old Lindsey. Are people really cheering for someone who murdered her kids? Three babies were strangled. What? Today in court, the judge called up each juror one by one for a private conversation. It's not known what was discussed, but we do know that the jury saw Lindsey's army of supporters as they entered the courthouse. The lone witness today was a hospital chaplain who testified what Lindsey told her after her breathing tube was removed 8 days after she killed her children.
She alluded to having heard a voice, and the voice, according to Lindsey, told her that if she did not follow the command, neither she nor her children would be safe.
Now, we can say that the woman was mentally troubled, and that's why she was hearing voices. But I don't think so. I think, as Pastor Jack Hibbs introduced this segment of the program, this is demonic activity rising, all predicted. That is why you must look at events in our time through the lens of the Bible. Demonic activity right now, it's staggering as it's leading up to the demonic activity of the book of Revelation, which I believe is at the door. And if you don't stay on guard, Satan and his minions will try to harass you. Count on it. No, if you are a believer, you won't be able to be, let's say, worst case scenario, you can't be possessed. But take the supernatural seriously, because you can be seriously oppressed. Guard your heart and mind. Satan is making a last stand before the rapture of believers. He's on the loose. Joining me to discuss this and a whole lot of other stories today on our programming, Falling Into Place, Michelle Bachman. Michelle, welcome back to the programming.
Thank you so much. Great to be here, Jan.
Again, occult overtones, and I'm reminded that this took place in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Historically, some occult overtones in Massachusetts. Go back to Salem, witch trials. The other thing I'm reminded of, and then I want your perspective, is 3 years ago we saw the world cheering for evil as they began cheering for Hamas instead of Israel. And I think a spirit was loosed at that time around the world, and we see it up today even with this, as you saw, people, I'm told, around the world, as far away as the Netherlands, cheering for Lindsey Graham, who admits she strangled her three children.
Well, the Bible is very clear what Satan does, what his purpose is on this earth, and that is, he says that he comes to kill and steal and destroy. That's what God says about Satan. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he did at the very first time we saw him in the Bible in the Garden of Eden. That's what he is doing now. And when you think of Massachusetts, the governor in Massachusetts just weeks before signed a bill that legalized the abortion, the intentional killing of a baby. So any woman is allowed in Massachusetts to kill her baby up until the moment of birth. So from conception until the moment of birth. Now what we saw through this jury trial is that in a jury of her peers, presumably, we don't know for sure, we don't know exactly yet what the jurors were about to decide, but it appears that 11 of the 12 were granting to Lindsey Clancy the get-out-of-jail-free card.
Correct.
For killing her three children. Now, again, her children wasn't a newborn baby. This was a five-year-old, and I think maybe a three-year-old, and an eight-month-old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so she's claiming postpartum depression, a psychosis, for kids that are 3, 5, and 8 months old. And one thing that's interesting about this case is never before did she claim to have a psychosis. Never before did she claim to hear a voice. It was only one time that this nurse said that she heard a voice. And on the basis of that one voice, It was a lie. Remember what the nurse said?
Yes.
That Lindsay Clancy said to her that you won't be, your children and you won't be safe unless what? You kill your kids?
Yeah.
And so clearly the kids aren't safe. Clearly she wasn't safe. Then she decided that she was going to go to a second story window, try
Correct.
And attempted to slit her wrists and then jumped out the window and she's paralyzed for life. This is an unbelievable tragedy on every level. But I think what's even more tragic is the response that we're seeing.
That's my point.
From people across the country. Because people across the world are watching this. I couldn't believe that Fox News host Yes. was wearing a pink blazer. This was not unintentional. That was intentional Yeah. On her part. Shame on her. There is no solidarity with a murderess.
That's right.
And that's what Lindsay Clancy is.
Yeah.
She is a murderess. And so now we're deluding ourselves. We've been listening to the lies of
Yeah.
Satan on abortion. That it's okay for a human being to take the life of another human being. And remember, the Bible says that we are made in the image of Almighty God. Every person, young, old. And so here she intentionally took the life of three human beings, her own children, crossing a moral barrier that is impossible to cross. And we're all supposed to stand back and call that mental illness rather than call it for what it is.
The Bible says evil will wax worse and worse in the last days. You know, I have to put things in this last days context because it's like everything is on overdrive.
Yes.
Once we hit, I think 1948 kicked off the last of the last days and everything gets more intense since that time. Dan Cohen writes in Harbinger's Daily, exposing a culture that has renamed evil as mercy. Two paragraphs. He says, Lindsay Clancy is responsible for the death of her children. End of story. Full stop. That's it. No one else is responsible. No one even disputes that fact pattern. Even her own attorneys do not dispute that she strangled her three children. The only question that is being litigated is whether we are allowed to call it murder. He says, videos across, sensitive here, videos across social media showing women holding plastic baby dolls, making light of casually harming their own children, moms tossing their fake babies over banisters, and more that I'm skipping. The caption of one of the videos depicting the harming of infants reads, postpartum depression got me like this too. And then he concludes, our society has rejected God and distorted the picture of his mercy. That's how we got here. That's why women consumed with a loss of natural affection. 2 Timothy 3 again. That's why women again consumed with a loss of natural affection and inverted mercy are increasingly celebrating the murder of children. And then, as Michelle said, the governor of Massachusetts, the same state as the Clancy trial, signed a death warrant for the unborn last month, surrounded by, remember, cheering and clapping women. It was the jubilation one would expect from a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the Chamber of Commerce. And that's what got to me, Michelle, watching that signing of the bill. This is some weeks ago now in Massachusetts. The women around the governor were ecstatic. Again, they cheered for evil.
Yes.
3 years ago, the world cheered for Hamas. A spirit was let loose, I believe, and it's consuming the planet right until today with what we're talking about.
Well, it is, and the only way that we can get there is with a reprobate mind.
Yeah.
The Bible talks
yes.
about that, and that's in Romans 1:28.
Yeah.
And that lays out the descent of humanity, how when we give ourselves over, God puts a natural moral conscience in
yes.
every single human being, but it's shade by shade. So as a human being denies a moral conscience, they deny natural affection, they deny what seems good. And again, let me just put a caveat here. we recognize that it's true. When women bear children, there can be cases of depression afterwards. That's very real. And so women need help with that. They need to tell their husbands. They need to tell someone else. But to get to the level of intentionally planning and carrying out the execution of your own three children, it takes a lot of steps down morally and spiritually in a person's spirit and in their mind to get to that point. That isn't just one bad day. That's a series of steps. And so one thing I'd like to do is just read the biblical definition of a reprobate mind. Yeah. And reprobate means unapproved, rejected after testing, worthless. And in the biblical context, it refers to a mental and spiritual state where an individual has become so hardened against God and against moral truth that they lose the ability to discern right from wrong effectively.
They're dumbed down.
They're dumbed down, but spiritually, they've made a conscious decision. Mm-hmm. So Lindsay Clancy or whoever does something like this, they've made a decision, and it wasn't just that day. It was step by step by step. They chose to reject the ways of God and to listen to the lies of the devil and then ultimately to act on what Satan is telling them to do. That's demonic. Yes. So what Jack Hibbs opened with, that's the demonic realm. And people can actually get to the point where they push out what is normal and natural, and instead they're willing to listen to the voice,
the
demonic voice that tells them to do, to kill, steal, or destroy, like their father, the devil. But they will do it after a series of steps of rejecting the Lord and the ways of God, and instead taking on Satan. And so this is a sinful act in people's lives where they do this, where they are rejecting. God gives us a moral conscience. He gives us a spiritual conscience. And when we intentionally say no and give ourselves over to sin, this is the consequence we can get to.
It's drastic consequence. My goodness, my goodness. In the interest of time, I'm going to transition just a little bit. I'd like to open this next segment with a short clip of Eric Steckelback, because he's sort of, well, warning us about something that is probably on the horizon and is called, and you would know this, you've been in politics a lot of years, an October surprise that could be awaiting us.
But let's start with the Middle East breakdown, and you see the title and thumbnail, October Surprise. Now, we hear about that often during election season here in the United States. The elections usually are like between like November 2nd and November 8th, generally. And we always hear in the run-up, there's going to be an October surprise. Something's going to drop that's going to maybe hurt one of the presidential candidates, hurt one of the parties. We have the midterms coming up. Of course, not a presidential election in November, but the midterms here for Congress, Senate, here in the United States. Something's going to drop. It's going to hurt the Republicans, or it's going to hurt the Democrats. It's going to be like late October, mid-October. And in the stretch run of the election, it's going to shift everything. Well, the Iranian regime, there's increasing concern here in America that Iran's regime may try to pull off its version of an October surprise, meaning the midterms are looming. There's no doubt that Iran's regime wants the Republicans to lose and lose very badly, lose the House or the Senate or both, God forbid, to the Islamo-communists who have consumed the Democrat Party. But the Iranian regime would love to see that, because it would weaken President Trump and weaken his hand in dealing with Iran. If he loses the House, the next 2 years, the last 2 years of his term, will be nonstop obstruction by a Democrat-led House, impeachment madness and nonsense once again. Folks, we've seen this script, right? Since really early 2017, when President Trump, literally from the moment he took office, I think it was January 21st, 2017, for his first term, this craziness started. Russia collusion, all this madness. And you know that's the direction they're going to go in if they get control of the House or the Senate for his second term, for the second half of his second term.
So, Michelle, this is something you're quite familiar with, having been in politics for a while, and I'm concerned about some dates that are on the horizon. Of course, for one thing, we know Iran's already tried some terrible evil, tried to assassinate the president more than
multiple
once. They've gone after Barron Trump. I'm told they went after Ivanka Trump. But we've got, again, I referenced it earlier, the anniversary of October 7th coming up. We've got Jewish holidays going on even as we speak. There's a lot, and radical Islam loves significant dates. But give me your thoughts on what we just heard here.
Well, an October surprise politically is usually maybe within the month before an election, some event will happen. Maybe a story will be dropped that you can't prove that it's false or that it's true, but it just creates the illusion that something is wrong, and then that can bring a candidate down. So that's on the political side. But there could also be a kinetic event. In other words, like an actual explosion, a bombing, something that could happen. One thing I've been reading about in Jewish media is the fear that Iran could do an asymmetrical warfare event. 9/11 was an asymmetrical warfare event. That's not typical warfare. It was actually fairly inexpensive to do. Buy a couple of plane tickets, buy some box cutters, pay for some hotel rooms, and you've taken down the Twin Towers and you've taken down
I'm going there
the Pentagon.
In a little bit.
And so so there's events that could happen. Here in our own state of Minnesota, we had a lot of municipalities that their water systems went down, and that was an Iranian attack. It was a cyber attack. So we could see cyber attacks come from Iran. They clearly don't want President Trump to win or his party to prevail or to maintain the majorities in the House and the Senate. So there's many factors at work. We're not in fear about that. Okay. What we are is we're standing in prayer. We've been involved in 40 days of prayer and fasting, and you've been calling the troops to come and pray. And so the believers have been doing this. We end on Yom Kippur. That's September 21st. Every day we meet, we worship the Lord, we pray, we have a Bible lesson, and we're not standing in fear. We're standing in faith. But that being so, we cry out to a holy God. And we believe that he will be glorified through these elections. The great thing is the book of Daniel tells us that the Most High God lifts up who he will and takes down who he will. And this is where all of our viewers now can weigh in between now and these elections. Satan may do what he wants to do. Man may have evil tactics, but we are not without tools in our toolbox spiritually. We can cry out to God, and the Bible tells us before prayers even leave our lips, he's heard us. And so we cry out together for his righteousness and his holiness and for his will to prevail in these elections.
Well, I'm also concerned about pressure the president, is putting on Israel as it concerns Iran. Telling Israel to, restrain, while even as we speak, Iran is threatening to obliterate all sections of Israel.
Well, and Israel is on high alert. You've read that in the Jewish media, that Israel is on the highest of the high alert. Libya, which is at the northern part of Africa, our State Department said no one is allowed to go there. They've said, if you go to Libya, we have no way to rescue you. And so we're seeing a lot of turmoil in that area. And Israel recognizes that Iran could be planning not only a major attack just from themselves, but what they intended on October 7th, which was the alliance of all of their proxies to attack Israel. Israel actually believes through some intelligence that they've uncovered that Iran might be trying to take the Houthis and Hamas and the Hezbollah. And even though they've been decimated in many ways, but through, again, methods of asymmetrical warfare, not typical warfare, come against Israel in a way that could be deadly to them, but also to the United States.
Yeah. Well, this might be in Judea and Samaria.
Yes.
The next attack.
Yes.
Okay. I think, again, in the interest of time, I want to move on to one more quick topic, and then I want to hit 9/11 here in a minute, too. But we're in the political theme right now, and this is just a real quick 40-second clip of Vice President J.D. Vance, and he says something here that's, I think, very intriguing. Now, I don't know his spirituality. We know he sort of converted as an adult to Roman Catholicism, and I don't think they teach the end times. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. If we could play clip one, and then let's come back and talk about it.
My view on it is, so one, do I think that we're in the end times? I don't know. And I think that it's probably bad for me spiritually to focus too much on it, because there are like things you got to do. I got to be good to my wife. I got to be good to my kids. I have to be, you know, as good of a leader as I can for the United States of America. And so I think that focusing, while I'm fascinated by it, I think focusing on it is too much, can be very bad. I think that there are like things about the world that make me feel like not shocked if the Antichrist was walking among us. Mm-hmm. But again, I try not to focus too much on it.
So we have the Vice President of the United States suggesting that the Antichrist may be walking among us. Frankly, I happen to believe with him. I believe him. I believe it because I see the convergence of signs that we talk about here consistently on everything I do and everything you do. We talk about the convergence of the signs. But what do you think when you hear Vice President Vance saying, well, the Antichrist could be walking among us?
Well, if the Antichrist is walking among us, then I think we would want to be focused on the end times and what's happening during the end times. Because when within the lifetime of an Antichrist, then he will go and take power in the Middle East. And so we want to know what's happening and what's going on. And I think it's an interesting question. I'm glad that he didn't dodge it.
Yeah,
I'm glad that
too.
He answered straight up. And I think it's good that he's at least considered this topic that is so important
for
every believer.
He believes that such a person does exist. I'm not sure everybody in Washington does.
No, that's true, that it's a possibility. And mm-hmm. that's a good thing that he does.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to drift here into, this is obviously a significant time that in which we're talking. We're here in mid-September. A couple of, staggering events have taken place. We have the 25th anniversary of 9/11 coming up here quite soon. We have the recent one-year anniversary of Charlie Kirk. And my goodness, if these two events haven't sort of changed the way Americans think, everybody remembers where they were on 9/11/2001. Give me your thoughts, and we were on it just a few minutes ago. How do you think America has changed in 25 years since that fateful day? I mean, there's no doubt some good things happened, and I want to talk about that in a minute, but give me your perspective here.
Well, I think what has concerned me more than anything else is a failure to recognize what was the evil mm-hmm. that attacked the United States. And I went to Congress within 5 years
yes.
of the events of September 11th. I had been at home as a full-time mom, and I was a state senator when 9/11 happened. But what I remember distinctly President George Bush saying, and I think this was an error, he was excellent as a president afterwards. He took responsibility for the nation and did that beautifully. But what I think was an error is someone got to him and
yes.
told him that Islam was a religion of peace. All you have to do is look at the history of Islam from like 600 to 700 AD, and it's very consistent. If there is anything that is consistent about Islam, it is this. It is not a religion of peace. It is a conquering religion, and now it's in the process of trying to conquer Western Europe, Australia, and the United States, the English-speaking nations. And so what is sad is that President Bush and subsequent presidents flung open the
yes,
doors to
yes.
immigration from Islamic countries. You and I live in a state that flung open the doors and not only said, yes, you're welcome to come in, but we've given them literally $19 billion mm-hmm. out of our state that we'll probably never see again in just one state. We've been robbed and lied to, and we've opened up the doors to criminality in our country. America has been completely transformed
yes.
since 9/11, not for the better. And it's because we allowed in people that hold to belief systems that are completely incompatible with Western democracy. Why do I say that? Because if their allegiance is to Islamic Sharia law, Islamic Sharia law cannot coexist with the American Constitution. And that's why I think it's interesting. Out of their own mouths, from both Islamists and communists, what's the number one thing they agree on that they want to do, these DSA people? Yeah. They want to overturn the U.S. Constitution. Yeah. They tell you that. So these people aren't silent about their goals. And so we've just seen a steady buildup of both the Islamic and the communist. Now they're coming together in a red-green alliance.
Red-green
and they're
alliance.
Very clear. They want to take us down. They want to steal. They want to take right. us down. And they want to overthrow America. The communists believe that they're going to put in place communism. The Islamists believe they're going to put in place Islamic Sharia law. Neither one are any good for freedom in the
right.
world. Neither one are the foundation of America. It must be rejected.
One of the things that astounds me the most of the last 25 years is that we are openly, willingly, cheeringly voting some of these people into office, from Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Andre Carson in Indiana, Mayor Mamdani. Look, New York City. Who could have imagined?
The lieutenant governor of the state of Virginia?
Yes.
That's the highest ranking.
But who could have imagined that in the city where the towers came down?
No, exactly.
Now the highest leader in that city.
Exactly.
Mr. Zohran Mamdani runs that city.
And openly anti-Jewish.
Openly
anti-Jewish. And this is what's almost impossible to believe. This is a spiritual battle at yeah. its base. People need to understand that the spiritual battles can turn into kinetic military battles. That's what Islam does. It begins spiritually, but they take weapons of warfare to actually defeat a people and defeat a
yes.
nation. And so to think that Mamdani, who he and his wife, the two most anti-Semitic couple you've ever seen, running the city. As a matter of fact, the people in New York City, the victims of 9/11, said we do not want you, Mayor, at the ceremony of 9/11.
That's right.
He says, too bad. I'm coming anyway. Thank goodness President Trump is going to go.
Yeah.
I trust there's going to be a speech that's going to be appropriately written for yeah. him to deliver. But no, New York City, you could have never imagined on 9/11, 2001, that we would have a full-on Islamist mayor as the head of New York City. You couldn't have even imagined
it. You can't make this up.
No.
You can't make this up. And I think, you know, again, some of the things we've talked about represent absolute darkness. And that's why I keep exhorting people listening, people anywhere, that they must be salt and light
yes.
in these last days.
Yes, that's
it must
right.
be.
That's
we
right.
must come again spiritually. Again, we're talking about the doctrine of demons. That's how this segment opened, with Jack talking about the resurgence of the doctrine of demons, the resurgence of the occult, the resurgence of everything dark that is predicted in the last days. I mean, the Bible says evil will wax worse and worse. That's in 2 Timothy 3. That's the last day's warning. But that we are called to come against these powers, and we can. And
yes.
And of course, and you're kind of winding down a little bit your 40 days of prayer and fasting.
Yes, I think. We are.
I think it ends on September 21st. But it's not too late if folks still
it's
want
not
to join.
Too late. Please come and join us at 40 days of prayer and fasting. It's regent.edu/Israel. Regent.edu/Israel. please come and join us. And I just want to add on to what you're saying about not living in fear and recognizing really the power that the believer has. Our power is in the Lord God Almighty himself. And our focus during the 40 days of prayer and fasting has been on the book of Exodus.
Yes.
And I last night I was reminded, I think it's in Exodus 14, of just as Moses, as God is speaking to Moses about how he's going to open up the Red Sea, they're going to go across the Red Sea. It says at the end of that chapter that God was going to glorify himself in Pharaoh, the army, the horses, the chariots. God is just saying, wait, see what I'm going to do. He was totally glorified. He took the greatest, probably one of the first true mega civilizations in all of the ancient world, the ancient pharaohs of Egypt. He completely destroyed that nation, destroying Pharaoh, his army, his the most sophisticated weapons in the world, the chariots and the horses, but also the economy was devastated. Everything was devastated. God gave Egypt and the Pharaoh a chance. Over and over, they said no, no, no to the Lord. And so then the Lord prevailed at the end. And it's such a beautiful picture for us, because no matter how big the demonic forces are in our world, our God is greater.
Well,
our God is bigger.
We have people who need to hear that.
And in the Islamic world, they say Allahu Akbar. Well, what does that mean? They're saying God is greater, meaning the false God, Allah, is greater than the God of the Bible.
Yes.
And so that's what they're saying, which is a falsehood. But the fact is, the creator God of the universe, who created everything in the world, there is no peer to that God.
Yes.
It is God and God alone. That's why we just throw ourselves into the arms of this holy God. We cry out. He hears us when we cry. We have every reason for optimism, hope, and a future, because he says he gives us a future and a hope.
Also, a year anniversary since the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
Yes,
and
tragic.
We could go on for a long, long time talking. We're not going to. Give me a paragraph on your thoughts a year later.
Well, I knew Charlie from the time he was a very young man. He asked me to serve on his advisory board, so I went to his memorial service.
Yes,
it was one of the most profound events, and I encourage everyone, on September 9th, I'm planning to watch the five-hour service, memorial service again. It was a complete worship service to the Lord. I'd never been in a worship service like his memorial service. He was really all about advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ, left behind a widow and two orphans. And what we've seen with this reprobate mind and with what you started the program with Pastor Jack talking about the demonic realm. Remember, after Charlie was assassinated in cold blood on live TV, you had people who would reenact the assassination, and they clapped and they jumped up and down.
I know.
Couldn't imagine that any human could do that about the death of another human being that was intentionally taken. And so this, what this whole purpose of this show is about today, Jan, it is about how far we've gone.
Yes.
This literally is the days of Noah now. This tells us we are in the last days, as the vice president was talking about. And that's why our house needs to be in order in these times. But we also say, Maranatha.
Maranatha.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Yes. Amen. Amen. I want to wind down our program. I'm going to close with a little 9/11 clip, and I'm not going to come back after that, folks, because I just want you to focus on that for, it's about a three-minute video. Let me just say first that, again, check out our website, olivetreeviews.org. We've got a ton of things available for you there, from articles to our online store with about 80 products in it, our Ian print newsletter. And by the way, my new book, updated, Waiting for a Miracle, Devotions for Those with Affliction. It is available. It's been brought back from some years ago. It's my own true story, trying to encourage those with a chronic illness, even terminal illness, for devotions, Waiting for a Miracle, Devotions for Those with Affliction. Find it in my online store, or give my office a call. And again, I want to thank you for joining us. We're going to come back probably in a couple of weeks and do another kind of review of some of the things that we consider to be, well, game changers, let's put it that way. But I think the biggest game changer in America, probably in the last 100 years, happened 25 years ago here in the coming days. And that, again, is the 9/11 shocking ordeal that people who were in government said, we lacked the imagination to come up with what radical Islam did to us on 9/11. So as we go out of this program, again, I won't come back after this. This is going to end our segment today. Let's just focus the next 3 minutes or so on this little memorial to that incredible day.
Thanks for joining us today. Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Monday through Friday at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Join us for each program as we look up, count down, and see how all the predicted events of the Bible are falling into place.